Thank you and good morning. We are told today to join the church of your choice. There are many churches to choose from. As a matter of fact, there are hundreds of churches with different beliefs and practices from which we can choose. The questions many people have are, what church should I join and how do I decide? The reasons for the choices that people make differ greatly. For example, a young lady who is about to be married to a man of a different religious persuasion than her own may decide the best way to avoid unpleasant disagreements in her new home is to join her husband's church. Another may join a particular church because he wants to be on their softball team. Another joins a church because it is the one nearest to where he lives. Still another joins a church because their worship periods are exciting, entertaining, and they make him feel good. Well, today and for the next few weeks on our program, we want to answer the questions, what church should I join and how do I decide? We want to answer these questions from a biblical perspective. Well, what church should I join? Should I join the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Assemblies of God, the Church of Christ? Which church? As we consider this question from a biblical perspective, we need to ask the question, well, what church were the early Christians a part of? In Scripture, we read that Jesus built only one church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he promised, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, it's not without significance that he spoke of his church in the singular as opposed to the plural. He promised to build only one church. Paul the Apostle affirms that there is only one church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, he said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body." Now, Paul says here, there is one body. Well, what is the body? Well, in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he said that God gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so the body is the church. And Paul says there is one body. You know, various figures used in Scripture to describe the church indicate that there is only one church. The church is the household or the family of God, Ephesians 2 and verse 19. There is one family with one Father. God the Father does not have many families. The church is the kingdom of Christ, Colossians 1 verse 13. Well, there is one kingdom with one king. Jesus the King does not have many kingdoms. The church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head, as we read earlier in Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. There is one body with one head. Jesus, the head, does not have many bodies. The church is a flock of sheep, and Jesus is the good shepherd, John 10, verses 11 through 16. And in verse 16, Jesus said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." The other sheep that Jesus is talking about here are the Gentiles. Gentiles will come and hear and obey his voice, and along with the believing Jews will make up the one flock with the one shepherd. You see, there is only one church. Now, when people obeyed the gospel in the first century, as recorded in the Bible, what church did they become a part of? Well, you would expect that they became a part of the one church that Jesus built. They became members of the one family of God, the one kingdom of Christ, the one body of which Christ is the one head, and the one flock of which Christ is the one shepherd. In Acts chapter 2, we read of Peter preaching the gospel to unbelieving Jews in Jerusalem. About 3,000 of them gladly receive the word and are baptized, verses 38 through 41. Well, they are saved. Well, question, what church did they become a part of? Well, verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Well, they were added by the Lord to his church. Well, this is the one church that Jesus said that he would build. Also in Acts chapter 8, We read of Philip going down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, verse 5. Verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the thing concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Now question, after these Samaritans believed and were baptized, what church did they join? Well, no doubt they were added to the one church, just as the Jews in Jerusalem were added to the one church recorded in Acts 2. There's no indication they joined a different church. There was not another church other than the one that Jesus built. And throughout the book of Acts, as we read of the different cases of conversion, in every case, those who obeyed the one gospel were saved and were added by the Lord to His church, the one church. Now, there are those today who will say, yes, there is but one church of God, but all the different Christian denominations make up this one church. One man with whom I corresponded illustrated it like this. He said, "We are one nation, the United States of America, but with different political parties. In the same way, there's one church, but with different denominations." Well, did the Lord establish a church with different parties that are divided in their beliefs and practices? You see, in our nation, we are divided, and the different political parties are vying for control. Well, is this what the Lord wants within His church? Well, no. In Scripture, we read that our Lord never intended for His church to be divided into different parties. The Lord wants unity. He prayed for unity in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. He said, "That they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me." Jesus does not want His church then to be divided into warring sects. He said through Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." He wants us to strive for unity. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, Paul said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." But someone might be saying, "Well, does not the Bible make reference to churches, plural, as in Romans 16, verse 16, and Revelation 1, verse 11? Well, this is true, but these churches were local congregations of God's people who all had obeyed the one gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, and who followed the one Lord, Ephesians 4, and verse 5. These churches were not different denominations that believed and practiced different things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 17, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." Now notice, what Paul taught in one church, he taught in another. Now he could not have done this if these were different denominations believing and practicing different things. Therefore, the churches in the first century were not different denominations, but they were local churches of Christ who were to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, this brings us back to our original question, and that is, which church is the Lord's church? Which church should I join? But there's another question we need to ask. Is it possible to identify the Lord's church today? Well, the answer is a definite yes. We can identify the Lord's church today because God has given us a description of His church in words that can be understood. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now Jesus says that we can know the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17 verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth, your Word is truth." And so to know the truth is to know the Word of God, and to know it is to understand it. And Jesus says, "You shall know it." The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if God desires that all men know the truth, we can be assured that He gave man His truth in words that can be understood. God has described His church in the Scriptures. He has given us certain identifying marks of His church. We can learn what those identifying marks are and then become a part of a local church that is characterized by those identifying marks. Let me illustrate it like this. If my car was stolen, the police would want to know certain identifying marks of my car so that when they found it, they would know it's mine. They would want to know the make and the model, the serial number, the color, etc. When they found the car that fit this description, then they would know it is mine. Well, in the same way, in order for us to determine which church out there is the Lord's church, we must learn the identifying marks of His church. When did the church begin? Who has the authority in the Lord's church? What did the Lord's church believe about God and Jesus? What did they believe and teach about salvation from sin and what one must do to be saved? What did they teach and practice about the worship of the church, about the organization and work of the church? What did they teach and practice about morality? See, we learn these identifying marks of the church by reading and studying the Bible. The Bible tells us what God wants us to know about His church. Knowing the identifying marks of the church, we are then able to find it in the world today. John says in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Well, today there are false teachers and false churches claiming to be of Christ. Well, how can we know if a particular church is truly the church of our Lord? Well, John says in this passage we can know by testing them. We can test them by the standard, God's Word. We compare what a particular church believes, teaches, and practices with what God says in His Word, believing that His Word can be understood. And if they're teaching and practicing what is revealed in Scripture, then they are the Lord's church. But if not, then you know they're not the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 17, Paul came to Berea and went into the synagogue of the Jews. It says in verse 11 that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Well, the Jews in Berea are commended here because they were open to the word that was preached and they tested what Paul was preaching with the Scriptures. Well, this is what we must do. We must search the Scriptures or examine the Scriptures to see if what a church teaches and practices is the truth. This is how we know what church then to join. Well, for the next several weeks, the Lord willing, I want to talk about some of the identifying marks of the Lord's church as they are revealed in the Scriptures. And we hope that you'll join us each week at this time as we examine the Scriptures to determine which church is the Lord's church. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like an audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then all you need to do is give us your name and address, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in, and our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.